So just to welcome the new people from the Shire, the people that we haven't seen in a long time, although we were in communication, but always better in person. Okay, so we began last week. We began exploring the psukim in Parshas Ki Tetzeh, which is Parshas HaShavua, and trying to understand what their implication is, and we're in the middle of that. So I want to continue with that analysis. So just to go back a little bit, just to remind you what we said so far for a minute, and then to expand on it, and then hopefully to move on. The Torah says in Parshas Ki Tetzeh, this is considered to be the parsha of Kiddushin and Gerushin, and as we'll see, of course, Machzor Grushaso. But if you look very carefully, and this is the point I was trying to make last week, in fact, it's not equally the parsha of Kiddushin and Gerushin. It's even really hard pressed to accurately call it the parsha of Kiddushin, because the Kiddushin is really just background for the Gerushin, which is a kind of not only lopsided effect, meaning, it makes you wonder why the Torah, is spending so much, more time, so much time, and so much more emphasis on the get, which is, of course, an unhappy, although necessary institution. There seems to be, an imbalance in the presentation, and the question is why? Why do I say that that's what's going on? Because you look very carefully, there is barely a half a pasuk, or a little more than a half a pasuk, depending on how you want to count the yotz of the haisa, on the matter of kiddushin. And most of the psukim are about gittin. Ki yikachish isha uva'ala, that's kind of the background. And then comes already, the sad v'hoya motim sachein be'enav, ki matzah ba'ervas davar v'kasav la'sefer krisus v'nasam v'yada v'shulcha mi'beisa. So even in the first pasuk, it's clear that the kiddushin is there as a background, as a context, and it gets much, less press than the gittin. And then in the second pasuk, you have yotzeh be'beiso, and then you do have v'holcha v'hoysa le'ish acher, and that, of course, is the source of the hekesh, the yotzeh v'hoysa, which teaches us many particular pratim about kiddushin, where there's this, limud from one to the other, the hekesh of yotzeh v'hoysa, including possibly being the makar of kiddushei shtar. But once again, the purpose of the holcha v'hoysa l'isha acher is to set up the next pasuk, which is v'sano isha acharon, right? The kasav la sefer kisa v'nasam b'yada v'shilcha mi'beiso o kiyamus ha'isha acharon asher l'kachalo l'isha. So even the second kiddushin is really a setup for either the second gerushin or the misas habal of the second Ishus. And the truth is, and this is what I was saying towards the end of this year, that all of this kind of is interesting and problematic a little bit, not problematic, but at least a noteworthy, we'll call it. But what's even more curious about the whole thing is that if you read the psukim carefully in the cadences, and the Malbim says this, by the way, explicitly, and others do as well. I think I brought the language of the Malbim today. I don't think you have it, but I have it. So I'll just read it just for a second, if I can find it. Yeah, the Malbim starts off by saying, "Sha'afapi shahapshat lo bo lulamed rak shelo yachzir es krushaso la'achar shenises." Meaning the whole, this whole five psukim section is coming to teach you the din of machzor grushaso. He's like a little apologetic about it. He's not troubled by it. He's troubled by it for a different reason. He's saying like, is it conceivable that the makar of Dine Gerishin, is because of Machzor Grushaso? Is it appropriate, to darshan, these words when they're just really kind of the framework, for something else? So he says, Ulazeh ba bivav achibor, right, ad lo yuchal bala, etc. Meaning that's what establishes, if you read the psukim carefully, that the main focal point is the Machzor Grushaso. there's always an explanation, but we could still darshan it because, you know, it doesn't just say, you know, that there's an Isra of Machzor B'Mishaso. You know, it gives a lot of details by describing first Kiddushin, you know, but especially, you know, Geirushin. It's Ma'arich, and therefore, you know, it's appropriate, you know, to darshan it, you know, in terms of the details. V'yirmiya afsha zachara azara azos b'derech melitza k'moshe kasav yirmiya hein yishalach isha sishto lo b'barichus kazos. As if, in other words, you might say, well, the arichus, you know, is still not a justification to see this as the parsha of darshaning the pratim of Gershon. Maybe that's just the Torah's way of, you know, setting up the background. So he says, no, there's a parallel pasuk, which we'll discuss, in Yirmiya and Perek Gimel, right, where you have similar language, right, lo yuchal, there again you have, you know, hein yishalach isha sishto, etc. And lo b'barichus kazos, it just, you know, it just mentions if there's a get, if yishalach, you know, isha sishto, it doesn't say, you know, because of a sefer krisis v'nasan, you know, biyada, you know, and so on. So we, you know, therefore, muchrach sheba gam lahashmienu kol dinei akidushin v'geirushin. That's like, I like this Malbim, because it like puts, you know, everything kind of on its head. We typically read this parsha and think this is the parsha of, you know, firstly kiddushin, you know, because we tend to focus more on kiddushin than geirushin, because we're, you know, positive and optimistic, you know, people, and you know, therefore, you know, that we see it that way, although, again, the balance in the Torah's actual treatment and the context is not really accurately, you know, describing it that way. Then, if not, at least we see it as the Parsha of Geirushin. And what he's saying is, if you read the Psukim very carefully, it's the Parsha of Machzor Grushaso, which, you know, in order to speak about Machzor Grushaso, you first have to have a Kiddushin and then a Geirushin. Otherwise, at least one. And then another, you know, Ishus, and another Geirushin or Misa, which is exactly what the Parsha is about. So he's saying, like, you know, is it appropriate, actually, then, to darshan? And the answer is yes. So Baruch Hashem, the answer is yes. But I say it puts everything a little bit, you know, into a very different, you know, kind of perspective. And that's really important. But when you think about it, you know, that makes it more peculiar. Again, he's worried about darshaning. I'm worried about, like, why did the Torah choose to introduce the mitzvah of Kiddushin, the institution of Kiddushin, and even more extensively, you know, Geirushin, you know, in this way. Machzor B'Mishaso is obviously a hechetim, see, it can happen. And, you know, at the same time, you know, it's a much rarer occurrence than Kiddushin and Geirushin. As I say, you need, you know, two Kiddushins and, you know, two Geirushins or one Geirushin and a Misa for it to happen. And also, you know, circumstances have to be right. I mean, people, you know, sadly, you know, were sufficiently incompatible that, what do they say, you know, in secular law, you know, they, I guess when they want to generically, you know, I guess we have a lawyer here, we could find, when they want to generically say that, you know, the marriage is over, but usually they have to get rid of it. They say, oh, irreconcilable differences, right? So there were irreconcilable differences, you know, and the marriage broke up, and then the people went on with their lives. So, you know, in addition to requiring all this, you know, extensive background, and, you know, you also have to have, you know, the desire for it. Like, how many times do people want to get, you know, remarried? I'm not talking about, so, you know, what was it, Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor, you know, but, you know, for normal people, you know, this is not, you know, this is not such a regular occurrence. So the point is that for the Torah to introduce, on the other hand, you know, Kiddushin Baruch Hashem is a ubiquitous phenomenon. You know, and I had a wedding last night. I have a wedding, you know, another one coming up on Thursday. So Baruch Hashem, we all go to many weddings. That's all very good. Gittin is a very unhappy phenomenon, but obviously it's many fold more, you know, common than Machzor B'Mishaso. you know, both quantitatively and in terms of the likelihood. So why would the Torah choose Machzor Grushaso and emphasize Machzor Grushaso, you know, in order to introduce, you know, the dinim of Gittin and of Kiddushin? That's the question that we're asking. But before we get to that, and we started answering that last time, so there's another ha'ara that I want to make about the treatment of Gittin and Kiddushin, which I think is also a clue to the nature of the broader phenomenon. It didn't have to be, but I think it is. And I think it fits in as one.
Like,
and that is...
in this Inyan is in order to stress the importance of Kiddushin. That when someone is Mekadesh a woman, they should realize, once you divorce her, you probably won't get her back. And therefore you have to really be concerned about
right.
Kiddushin.
I think that's true.
Inyan, therefore it strengthens the what Kiddushin is. And it
I don't know whether you I don't know whether you listened last week or not.
Did you say that?
Yeah. No, I didn't know. I mean, I'm joking with you. But yes, I mean, what I'm obviously getting to is Baruch Shekivanti. No, I agree with you. Although I'm not so sure that it's about the Kiddushin. I think it's actually more about the Geirushin, which also fits in. But I do think, I said, I'm not sure if I said this last week or not, in my opinion, and I'll elaborate this, but I agree with you 100%. And that's what I'm trying to, you know, to highlight. I just didn't think that, you know, I think you need to formulate it, you know, and to be aware of it, and that the Torah's presentation is a perfect way to do that. But what I wanted to add was, and I'll elaborate more on this point, in my opinion, the Din of Masig Rishaso, let's say in the Rambam, right, could have been formulated in one of three different places. And it would have made sense in each of these three places, but it would have had a bit of a different, you know, significance and meaning. The Rambam could have put it in the beginning of Hilchos Ishos, or in the context of Hilchos Ishos. And, for example, you emphasized just now that it's really about, you know, about the Ishos. And I think there's some evidence of that, you know, although I don't think... What I'm going to try to show is I think that all of these things, the Ishus and the Geirushin and the Masuk Grishaso, I think they're all about Kedushas Ishus, put it that way. But the Rambam could have, in theory, he could have, especially if you look at Masuk Grishaso Beheter, there are two Masuk Grishasos, I think I mentioned this last week also. This Torah, this Pasuk in the Torah, Lo Yuchal Bala Arishon Asher Shulchav, L'shuv l'kachto li'aso l'isha acharei asher hutama ki toivahi l'fnei Hashem. We'll get back to more of it in a minute. Is talking about either after nisuin, meaning that the second marriage, you know, was nisuin, or at least erusin. Right? That's a debate in the Gemara. Gemara Nivamos. That's why I said I have to bring. Given Mar Makomos, because I want to elaborate on this more. The Gemara Nivamos, you know, Aleph on the base, records machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur regarding the scope of this din of Machzor Grushaso. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur was of the opinion that only if there was a nisuin in the second marriage is there a prohibition of Machzor Grushaso. And, but if not, if there's only an erusin, then that's not the case. Then there's no Iser. We paskin like the Chachamim, that bein be'erusin, bein be'nisuin, either way there is a prohibition. But, of course, if there is no interim marriage whatsoever, not even an erusin, then everybody agrees that there's a heter Machzor Grushaso. Okay. So that's why we have to be careful. But it might end up being, because we kind of lapse back, I think I mentioned this last week, you know, into the first marriage. So we need to speak more about, you know, Machzor Grushaso. But the Rambam could have put it in Hilchos Ishos. He doesn't. He also, in my opinion, could have put it, and according to some understanding, in Hilchos Yisurei Bia. You know, together with, you know, other Chayvei Lavin, and especially if he really thinks, you know, that what's prohibited is the, you know, the physical relationship. Not necessarily, this is also an issue, I mean, the Rambam does paskin this way, although I think it's Sefer Mitzvos, he had a different view. Like, what is the Iser of Machzor Grushaso? Let's say he remarries her, you know, when he's not allowed to, and that's it. do you violate the Isra Matzu Grishaso? You know, the Gemara says in the end of Kiddushin, in Asar Yotzin, the Gemara of Ayin Ches, speaks about, certain Chayvei Lavin, particularly of Kahuna, whether the Isur is an Isur, about the physical relationship, Isur Biya, or is it an Isur Dafka B'Kidesh Ubal? What about Kidesh V'lo Baal, Baal V'lo Kidesh? So actually the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin says that Masi Grishaso is Kidesh Ubal, but in Sefer Mitzvos it sounds like it only requires the Kiddush part. So we'll talk more about that. But the idea is, the bigger idea that we also noted in the Ramban last week and in Rashi says, Achrei Asher Hu Tamal, L'Rabo Sota Shenistera. The Ramban expands on this. That's really the Gemara in Yevamos. And that is that the Pasuk of Masu Grishaso shares an Iser. Masu Grishaso is shared with the Lav of Sota. And again, surely that's significant, especially according to the way that we paskin, like the Chachamim, that Masu Grishaso applies even after Erusin. You don't require Nisuin. The Gemara in Yevamos seems to say that it depends on that Machlokas. That Machlokas determines whether the Iser Sota is included in the Pasuk or not, even though the Ramban and the Rambam both kind of ignore that in prominent places. The Ramban on the Torah and the Rambam in the Koteret and Sefer Mitzvos. I'll try to explain why that is also, but not tonight.
Is the opinion that in the Gemara in Yevamos that it's Erison, is that assuming Neras with Bia, or it could be Neras in any
other? No, I'm telling there are two different issues. Yeah, it's good that maybe I didn't make it clear. There are two different questions in this issue. One is, what was the relationship between husband number two, and the woman, such that there's a Masu Grishaso? Right. On that, there's a Gemara Machlokas in the Gemara in Yevamos, whether or not the relationship was even Erusin only, Erusin to the second husband, or it needed to be Nisuin.
But Erusin through any means, that opinion maintains. Meaning if you maintain Erusin...
No, Kol Shekain if it was Erusin through Kiddush Biya. The issue would be the other way more. Even... According to Chachamim, even if it's Kesef, that's enough. And Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur says, no, it's got to be Nisuin. Okay. What I was referring to a second ago, and I should have made it clearer, is a different question. And that is, if the first husband, after the second divorce from what was either Erusin or Nisuin, right, if he illegally, right, that is Be'isr, remarries the first wife, and the kiddushin is chal, because it's not chai bekrisus. So there is an ishus, you need another get, number three. But the question is, does he violate and is he subject to malchus only based on the kiddushin or the kiddushin and the nisuin, or does there also have to be a physical, relationship as well? That's what I was referring to. But it certainly is not required, the Pashtus, according to either Mandamar and Yevamos, although the way some of the Mefarshim ala Torah, including the Ibn Ezra, speak about it, you would think that you also require the physical, consummation of the marriage and the second marriage, too. For example, I don't know if I have it here. It could be that I didn't put it, or did I? No, I didn't put it here. But the Ibn Ezra on this Parsha actually does say that, and then other Mefarshim attack him, and they say there's no such requirement, in the halacha. And then
it would be better with hutala.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, correct. So it works much better with hutama, and that's probably what motivated him on a pshat level, 100%. Okay, so without going into so much more detail, what I'm trying to say is the Rambam could have put the Dina Matzu Grishaso either in Hilchos Ishus or in Hilchos Isurei Biya together with Sota, or some aspect of Sota. He chose to put it in Hilchos Gerushin. Hilchos Gerushin has two mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of Gerushin, which we're going to speak about. What does that mean, the mitzvah of Gerushin? We don't typically think of it as a mitzvah, right? We'll get to that. And the other one is the Iser of Machzir Grishaso. By putting in Hilchos Gerushin, I'm just tweaking what you said a little bit. I still think that the Rambam thinks it's all about Kedushas Ishus, but I think it's particularly, and this is what the Ramban says, it's particularly about Kedushas Ishus and respecting the institution of get, which I also think is about Kedushas Ishus. So when the Ramban, this I read last time in the Pshat, says, Ramban quotes two deos here. I'm not going to read it again because I read it last time, but the first deah is based on the Gemara. Let's read the second one. Well, derech ha-pshat acharei asher hu tama lebal harishon yumos ki kasher yida'a ish acher techashev lo tuma ve'elu mitzvos mechudashos begetu bechazira v'tama lav hazeh kedei shelo yachlifu nishoseihem zeh lo zeh yichtov get ba'erev u'baboker yisovev ba'erev sama kama u'baboker hishava elav, meaning you're playing you're using the get, which is a somber, institution, and you're using it, in a very frivolous and kind of in a very cynical way, using it to manipulate, heter znus. And that is an offense to the institution of geres. But I think the Rambam holds that way too, although I think it's all connected. And I think that's why he put it in Hilchos Gerushin, and not in Hilchos Ishus, and not in Hilchos Yisrodiyah. I think the Radak, when we get back to the further Mar Makomos, and Sefer Sharashim, has a very extraordinary understanding of Matzi Bushasso. I think if he were writing a Rambam, he would have put it in Hilchos Yisrodiyah. But we'll get back to that. Okay. But the bigger question is, again, since this is the derech that we're taking, that, is that, no, I'm not like the Malbim. The whole thing isn't for the sake of Machzor Grushaso. In a way, Machzor Grushaso is a kind of a crescendo, that kind of crystallizes, right, what it is, that Kiddushin and Geirushin are about. In other words, if we saw these institutions, in more technical, legal terms, rather than as expressing, Kedushas Ishus, which is an aspect, an important aspect of Kedushas Yisrael, then there probably wouldn't have been a Masu Grishaso. In other words, an Easter of Masu Grishaso. In other words, as long as you maintain some technical standard, namely that your, relationships are within the context or confines of marriage, then you should escape any kind of, criticism, and you wouldn't violate any isurim. Masu Grishaso highlights, the standards that Ishus and that get contributes to Ishus, that we still have to explain, in a very, powerful way. And I want to get back to Masu Grishaso, but not at the moment. What I want to do at the moment is make another point, and that is the presentation, as I was saying a second ago, of Kiddushin and Geirushin, getting back to that for a minute, forget about the crescendo and the embodiment of this in the Isra of Machzor Grishaso, also points to something else that is very interesting. And it's certainly true as a phenomenon in Halakha, and I think it's implied also by the way that Torah Shebichtav conveys these things. And that is that Kiddushin is very much more flexible. We started talking about this last week. Ki yikach ish isha uva Allah v'yatza v'haisa, between darshaning everything, you get aisha nikneis begimel drachim b'kesef v'shtar v'biya. If you look at the evidence in the Gemara, and this is again especially captured in the formulations of the Rambam, especially in Sefer Mitzvos and in the Koteret to Hilchos Ishus and in Paragimel Hilchos Ishus and in Pirush Mishnayos, the Gimel Drachim, the three methods of Kiddushin, and this is kind of obvious, emphasize different aspects of that institution, right? And the point then being that, there's more than one way to be Mekadesh. And that's interesting. But it's more than that, even. There's more than one way to be Mekadesh, although the result is still Chafsa Shel Ishus. And there are two phases in Ishus. Right, and that's part of the Chiddush of Matan Torah, namely Kiddushin and Nisuin. The Rambam says in the beginning of the Hilchos Ishus that, Kodem Matan Torah, Haya Adam Pogea Isha Vishuk, Imratza Hu Vihi, Lisa Osa, right, if they both agree, Mach Nisa Lebeso, Bola Beno Lebeinatsmo, Vitiya Lali Isha. Kodem Matan Torah, and he has said something similar about Bnei Noach, if you look in in Perek Yud, I'm sorry, in Perek Tes of Hilchos Malachim, Halacha Zayin, which we should have here on page 5. Okay, we thank Zev in advance for the whole year of looking forward to these numbered sheets, and for also disseminating them. Perek Tes Hilchos Malachim, Halacha Zayin. The Ram says, "Ein benoach chayv al eshes chaveru, ad shavala kedarka, acha shenivala lebala, avo muraso shenichas al chupa v'lo nivala ein chayav en alach. Shenemar v'hi beulas bal." So basically, a benoach who also has, you know, an obligation to be faithful, right? There's a bond of marriage for a benoach as well. But it's not defined by erusin or knisa l'chupa v'lo nivala, only by, again, the intimate physical relationship itself, l'shem ishus. Shenemar v'hibu ulas v'al v'medvar mamun v'benoach v'al besnoach. Fine. Aval akam abal b'al yisraelis, when you cross, you know, the systems, you know, so we're machmir, you know, for the Israelis, Ben Kedarka Ben Shalom Kedarka Chayv, because you're violating her definition of marriage. Dima Yisanar Murasa Niskala Kedina Yisrael. Ba Aleach Hashenechus Al Chupa Velo Nivala, or is it Bechene Kedina Yisrael? Ba Al Eishas Yisrael Aleach Hashenivala, or is it Kedisha Ba Al Eishas Akum Chaveri Hori Beside. So this is the Rambam telling you, and it's based on Yerushalmi in the beginning of Masechet Kedushin, which I think I have here somewhere as well. Yeah, oh, right on top. Yeah, one on the Hari Lamadnu, Goyim Ein Lahem Kiddushin. So what does it mean, Goyim Ein Lahem Kiddushin? That can't be true, you know, in the broadest sense, because we know that Bnei Noach, you know, do have to have, you know, faithful marriages. So what it means is they don't have Kiddushin, you know, they don't have Erusin. Right, they only have, the Maisabia, which is kind of everything combined. So in the Rambam, basically, that's what's meant about Kodem Matan Torah. You know, Hayapogea Adam Isha B'Shuk, Ratzahu Ratztahi. You know, they would go to a Makom, you know, Tzanua, or hopefully, and they would, you know, consummate this physical relationship, and that would constitute marriage. Kimishinit, the Torah, right, the Torah introduced, number one, the division of Erusin and Nisuin, and the requirement of Enekihu. And that the Erusin can take place, you know, in three different ways. So the hallmark, I guess, of Kiddushas Ishus is that, you know, it can be accomplished in more than one way. Kesef Shtar and what?
When we learn Yaakov Avinu, Malish was us, they didn't know the class, so the Chazal learned that that's the Kabir, that Enoch may not be simple, the simple.
Yeah.
What was the simple? There wasn't the simple ensuing with Yaakov Avinu?
Who says that there was no? Oh, you mean because it was Kodem Matan Torah?
Right.
And right, that gets into the, you know, that gets into the whole question about the Avos. You know,
where
does
Kodemat Torah
exist? I'm saying the Avos, I think, you know, they discuss that. The Mepharshim discuss, Balitosis discuss that, you know, others discuss that, you know. Much later, the Chassam Sofer discusses that. Whether Jewish marriages, Kodem, you know, Matan Torah, had, you know, what kind of character do they have? Of the Avos, you know, things of that sort. You know, that's part of that question. In general, how could you learn anything from, you know, from the Avos, from
Kodem. I'm saying showing that Nisuin existed in this.
What?
Nisuin existed then, because there wasn't, we learned Amar was...
Yeah, no, I understand. I'm just saying, 100%.
And also, but why don't we have the bracha by yet?
So we'll get to that. If you want to, like, peek ahead, you know, so look at the... if you want to peek ahead, you can do that. The tshuva of the... you know, the Rajva, Chelek Aleph Simen Yud Ches, that's on page 3, number 22, and the Tshuva of the Rivash, Shin Tzadi Ches, number 28. Okay. So, and I'll give you a few other reasons, you know, why, you know, as well. But that, we'll get to that. Okay. So I'm not yet up to speaking about what the mitzvah is and what kind of mitzvah it is. But I will get to that a little bit even today. But before we get to that, the bigger point I want to make is that the remez to there being multiple methods of kiddushin are in these psukim. What's fascinating is that chuppah, or the idea that there's erusin and nisuin, is not explicit, you know, in one parsha. It's implicit, you know, across different parshios. I'm talking about postmodern Torah now. You know, I'm talking about meaning when it comes to you know, of course, nahar murasa. You know, there's a difference between, you know, arusa and nisua. Doraisa, I'm talking about, which when it comes to matters of tumah. Right, you know, being the tame, you know, leishto kohen, there's a difference between erusin and nisuin when it comes to, you know, nedarim, right, afaras nedarim. There's a difference between erusin and nisuin. There are numerous differences between erusin and nisuin that are, you know, established in the Torah itself, by which we know that there are these two phases. And that each one, you know, constitutes some dimension of ishus. Right? Typically, we think that, you know, there's erusin and then it's followed by nisuin. Even that's not so simple, as we know. If you know the nusach habracha of the birchas erusin and it's chasima, so everybody comments on the fact that the nisuin, or the chuppah, is prior to the kiddushin. Right? It's different explanations are given, but some Rishonim, Mordechai quotes, say, oh, because sometimes you can even flip the order, which is very mechudash. Not everybody agrees to that, but some of the early Chachmei Ashkenaz thought you could flip the order. Some the Ramban has a day on Daf Yud and Kiddushin, you can flip the order. Of course, flipping the order, just to make it clear, not everybody agrees to it, but even those who agree to it agree. You don't get the impact of Nisun until you also have the Erusin. When I talk about flipping the order, if you do Erusin, Kodim Nisun, the Dine Erusin kick in already. She's already in Eshesish, and so on. If you do the Chuppah before the Erusin, it doesn't mean anything until you do the Erusin. But what it means is you don't need to redo the Nisun. And some people think that the, you know, the Badekin at a wedding is the Chuppah, you know. So I always suggest to Chassanim that they have two Edim also, you know, look at the Chuppah. Assuming that you do need Edim for the Nisuin, which is a question, you know, so to have two Edim also look, I would suggest that the Edei Yichud also look at the Badekin, because they're either Yichud is the Nisuin, that's Shitas HaRambam, or Badekin, or standing under the Chuppah, or Knisa LeBeis. I mean, the whole range of that itself is a phenomenon. All these are part of what I'm trying to suggest. Meaning, the Torah doesn't say, you know, you would have expected that the Torah say, the way to get married is Erusin and then Nisuin. Okay? But it doesn't say that. It's all just kind of, you know, implicit. It's out there. And frankly, Nisuin is one of the most, you know, we've learned Tzuvos in the past, I've discussed this, that it's just a very fascinating phenomenon, that you have an institution in halacha. Everybody agrees that you need Nisuin, and that it's an independent institution. You know, again, the Nedarim, you know, Tumah, you know, and a bunch of other things depend on it. But it's not clear in the Torah itself, you know, what Chuppah is. That's just a very shocking truth. Now we know what Erusin is. It's not all Mefurish Bakra. The Uva Allah is Mefurash. And the Kesef is, you know, Kicha Kicha.
There's a Mishnah.
What?
There's a Mishnah about Yehushin. There's no Mishnah about it.
Exactly. So I'm just about to get to that. But like, you know, I figured, no. You're right. I'm saying, but I figured I'd start with the Mikra, you know. That came first. So in the Psukim, you know, we have the limudim, at least, of the Gimel Drachim of Kiddushin in the Psukim, in these Psukim, Dafka. But, you know, where is, you know, an explicit Pasuk, you know, about Nisuin? But as Simcha correctly is pointing out, the first Mishnah in Kiddushin, which is where you would expect it to be, you know, outlines what Kiddushin is. You know, you should make this big Gimel Drachim, because of Shnar B'diyah. But there's no parallel. You would expect the first Mishnah in Ksuvos, or maybe the second, or some Mishnah in Ksuvos, would say, you know, this is Nisuin. There's so much spirited debate about what it is, and it impacts, you know, how we do weddings, you know, in a very, I think, you know, inspiring way, in a way. But, you know, the reason that we have, it's just a shocking phenomenon that, like, we don't know exactly what Nisuin is. Not in Psukim, not in the Mishnah, not in the Gemara. I mean, of course, the Rishonim debated how to read certain Psukim and how to understand Masar Habal, Masar Ha'av, L'Shluchei Habal, you know, or other such things. But the idea that the Rambam could think Ichud means one thing, and that the Ran could think it means something else, and that the Ramah could say maybe it's for either one of four or all four. The Yerushalmi seems to say that, you know, maybe there's a difference between a Besula and a Be'ula, what, you know, what their Nisuin would be, obviously because it's a more symbolic act, and therefore it's like less, according to that view, it's like, you know, less carved in stone. You know, it's more like, you know, accomplishing a certain symbol that you can't make up your own, but the idea that there's more than one symbol that might capture it if there's more than one way, or that, you know, for people at different stages it might be different, is there's a certain flexibility, I'm trying to say, in this. There's flexibility in Kiddushin, because our three drachim. There's complexity in Kiddushin, in Ishus, because there are two phases. And there's even more flexibility in Chuppah, because, you know, whatever conclusion we reach about what it is and what it's not, epistemologically, meaning how we know that, you know, is just surprisingly, second or third hand. It's not in Torah Shabbat Sab explicit, not in Mishnayis explicit, not in the Gemara explicit, you know, and so on. Now the question is all that just like a coincidence and a phenomenon that I'm pointing to, or is there a pattern here? Right. So I think especially there's a pattern when you contrast it with Gittin. There's only one method of Gittin. This is what I want to add. There's only one way to be Megarish. And not only that, but the protocols of Gerushin are much more specific and stricter in some respects than Kiddushin. I don't mean by that that you could do Kiddushin imprecisely and you can't do Gerushin imprecisely. Chalila. You know, at the end of the day, there are halachos that govern, you know, Kiddushin, and if you don't follow them, then you haven't done Kiddushin. What I mean is that, you know, again, there's more than one way, and there's, in some cases, you know, you can sometimes flip the order according to some, you can, either can, you know, it's just a broader topic. Even in the Pesukim itself, when it comes to get, what's fascinating is, I think I mentioned this last week, that you have the exact same formulation twice, right? Here comes the quote, quote, the kasav l'sefer krisis v'nasim b'yad v'shulchan libesa. And that you have again in Pasuk Gimel when you describe the second Gerushin, right? Snei ha'isha achron, the kasav l'sefer krisis v'nasim b'yad v'shulchan libesa. Right? Almost like, you know, it's all in quotations, because every single word that describes Gerushin teaches us certain halachos, and it's almost like it doesn't matter if it's her first get or her second get, this is the only way to do it. I mean, there's something about Gerushin, you know, that is even more, you know, rigorous, let's say, or strictly, you know, according to the exact protocol, you know, than Kiddushin, where there are ways to be Mekadesh, and, you know, and there are, you know, there are two phases and all sorts of other elements. And the question is why. By the way, that idea is hinted at in the Balaturim. You don't have that in front of you, but I have it. The Balaturim, when he starts off pretty much, you know, in the beginning of, towards the beginning of this parsha, so when he hits the word Sefer Krisus, he says, Gimel Bamasora. I'm not talking about the Tura La Torah, I'm talking about the Balaturim, meaning with the Gematrias, the whole bit. So one of the things Balaturim does is he, you know, this is the Ashkenaz part of it, is that he sometimes counts, you know, like when does a phrase, and it's tremendously helpful and suggestive. So, and then sometimes his Ha'aros are fascinating. So he says, on the word Sefer Krisos, he says, Gimel Bamasora, like in Tanakh, the exact phrase Sefer Krisos appears three times. Trei b'hayin yonah, two in these psukim, in Parshas Ki Tetzé, Hachal b'pasuk Gimel, the idach sefer prisus imchem, in Yeshaya, Perek Nun. In Yirmiyah, Perek Gimel, by the way, Pasuk Ches, we speak about Sefer Krisuseha, so it's very close. But the actual, just the phrase, Sefer Krisus, appears only here in the Parsha, and in Yeshaya, where the Rebbeinu Shalom says to Klal Yisrael, you know, I didn't write you again. You know, so, you know, where are you? You know, which is fascinating. But anyways, that will leave for another time. Maybe before Yom Naran. The Zesh Amru Begitin, says the Balaturim, Sefer Karsav Dover Acher Karso. Ah. And then he adds, Uksiv Tlosa Zimni Sefer Krisus, like I just said, he said, there are three times in the Tanakh, you know, in Kisvei HaKodesh, where we have the phrase Sefer Krisus. Afal Pi, Sheisha Niknes Begimel Drachim, Ein Dover Acher Korsa El Sefer, by which I take the Bala Turim, since I was already kind of on the prowl, you know, for this, you know, difference, as saying that the three, you know, Sefer Korsa, it's almost like the Tanakh is saying, you know, Gimel Darchei Kedushin, only one, the only way of Gittin, Keneged, every one of those is Sefer Krisus. Sefer Krisus. Sefer Krisus. So that is a statement. Okay. So why is that?
Isn't it obvious? Because the repercussions of not having the Kedushin is nothing. You will it together. But there's Yifl.
Well, that might explain the rigor.
If the Chassid Shalom was done wrong, you're having an Eishes Ish.
Right. But I'm not zeroing in on doing it right or doing it wrong, necessarily. But why, I'm saying, why is the Torah, why is there more than one way to be Mekadesh, you know, and it also has the complication.
Exactly correct. It has to be, the Gerushin has to be, because it's such an important.
Okay, so I agree that it's very important, so I want to add just something else, and that is, and again, it goes back to Kedushas Ishus more broadly. What I think we're being told here is not just that the Geth has to be, you know, so you have to be so careful because of your matzah, you should be shook, right? So the stakes are enormously high. Well, that's your horror. In other words, in the case of Kiddushin, you're trying to be Kaddish. No, you miss. Here, we're talking about Yisrael Shasish. Okay. But I'm adding an additional point, and that is, and this is what I think is really going on in the whole Parsha, and that is that what the Torah is trying to tell you by being, you know, it's got to be because of the Sefer Krisus, and there aren't three ways, there's only one way. And every one of these words that is used to describe this get, in my opinion, all of them underscore that Gerushin is not just the unraveling of the Kiddushin, or of the Ishus, but that it is a Yetzira in its own right, meaning it's a Matir. And that says something not just about Gerushin, what it really speaks about is the Ishus. In other words, the Ishus isn't just like an agreement. It's not a hezder between the parties. And it's not just a regular kinyan either. As we know, the requirement of Edei Kiyum already signifies, and the consequences of Kiddushin already, even the Kiddushin part, not the Nisuin, and more so even the Nisuin, the Heter Shilabala and the Baal Ki Ishto, those kick in kind of with the Nisuin part. So each, according to its own phase, is, you know, what in, you know, the Lamdisha world we call a Chalos, but what we mean by that is, so it isn't just terminology, it's more than the sum of its part. It's something transcendent. The Ishus isn't just like a shorthand for an agreement. The Ishus is a, you know, the embodiment of an existential bond, you know, between husband and wife. The Erison on the more legalistic part, and the Nisuin on the more personal, you know, intimate, you know, part. And therefore, the two together engender that. And because that is the case, when you want to turn the clock back, it's not, I mean, before there was Ishus, there was, you know, two individuals, a Panui, you know, and a Pnuya. So you might have thought, you know, that, you know, the artificiality here is in the creation of the Ishus. So you want to undo it, and that was hard to do. That was a yitzira, that was a chalos. So all you need to do is, you know, go back to where you were, go back to the default. But there's no going back to the default, because the ishus is so transcendent and defining, you know, that, you know, it needs a matir. You need to, you know, neutralize the ishus in order for there to be, you know, both an isur labala, but especially a heter lekola olam. And in my opinion, that's what we're establishing so much, you know, in these psukim. And the truth is that everyone, I'm not going to, you know, go through the whole masechta, you know, just tonight, because, you know, we have something to talk about in the other shiurim throughout the year. But every one of these words is loaded with drashos that convey different things, but among the things that they all convey, in my opinion, is they all accentuate the matir idea of gerushin. Meaning, once again, that in order to, you know, turn back, you can't turn back the clock exactly, right, completely. What you need to do is to be matir isha l'shok. And that's what gerushin is a chalos. Gerushin is chalos because isha is a chalos. If they had only been, as I say, kind of, you know, kinyanim and agreements, then you would have been, they could fall apart, or you could just, you know, reverse engineer them. And you can. And for that reason, even you can get married in three different ways, but there's only one way to get divorced. It's much more rigorous, because that method is the matir, and it consists of the kasav la sefer krisus, right, the nasan, biyada v'shilcha mibeso. Just very briefly, before I get to that, I mean, I'll even use the Rambam for it. You know, it's very interesting that, again, the way the Rambam begins Hilchos Ishus, compare the way the Rambam begins Hilchos Ishus, and compare the way the Rambam begins Hilchos Gerushin. I mean, I've been trying to compare the Psukin, and then I've been trying to compare the Mishnayos and the Halachos, right? But, you know, it's always good also to, you know, include the Rambam in the mix. So, the first halacha in Hilchos Ishus, first two halachos in Hilchos Ishus, as I've already indicated, the Rambam begins with history, right, and back history. So, it's an interesting place to start. The introduction of Erusin, you know, Kodem Lenesuin, and Ede Kiyum, both of which are part of the idea of Oser and Kinyan and sort of this creation. The Achar Kach Tielo Leisha Shinema Kikaki Shisha Ubaila. The Mikukin Ela Mitzisase, Shal Torah, Uba Echad Megimel Dvarim Haisha Niknes, Kesefar Shtar Bibia, and the Rambam goes on, etc. How does the Rambam begin Hilchos Geirushin? So we would have expected a little past history, you know, if you want to keep the parallel going, Vyatzev Haisa, right? You know, what about prehistory of Geirushin? And by the way, the Rambam does speak about Ben Noach in Geirushin, based on Yerushalmi. I'm not going to go into details of that right now. I'm going to save that probably for next week. But, you know, I stopped reading the Yerushalmi on page 5. You know, we read the first line, Halamadu Goyim Einlem Kedushin, and then this Maushi Elohim Geirushin. Ah, does a non-Jew, non-Jewish marriage have Geirushin? So actually, we'll get back to it, but, you know, the, you know, there seems to be two views. Oshein lem gerushin, the next line. Osha shneim begarushin zezeh. The question is, what does it mean? Either there's no gerushin, or either one can initiate, unlike Jewish divorce, which has to be initiated by the husband, either one, you know, can initiate. Anyway, the Rambam, I'll get back to that, all that later, but if you look at Rambam Perek Tes, Halacha Ches, this is on line 26 and 27, Ben Noach sheyichid shivcha liavdo uba'ala rezanerag mishum eishas chavero. Enochai v'lev sheyifshot hadavar v'amu lo ha'am zu debase eved ploni. Um emas ha'tasol atir mishav shushonu me'avdo v'yifra rosho v'shok. Nemes ha'tia eishas chavero kigrusha shalanu Right? When is a Ben Noach, how does the Gerushin of a Ben Noach work? Says, Rala Misha Yotzienu Mibeso Vishalchenu Liatzma. O Misha Tetzehi Mitachas Rishusa Vatelechla. She'en lehem Gerushin Beksad, Veino David Toli Bolavad, and the Kolzman Shiyirtzahu Ohi Lifrosh. We'll get back to this because there's some Kiddushim here. But the Rambam says that Ben Noach's Gerushin is different than Yisrael's in two respects. Number one, either one can initiate, husband or wife. Number two, it doesn't have to be Biksav. It could even be orally. Whereas when it comes to Gerushin Yisrael, it's only initiated by the husband and it's only with a get. So you would have thought, you know, that the Rambam would have mentioned that there's a mitzvah. In the Koteret, to Hilchos Gerushin, look on page 1 now, number 36, you see Hilchos Gerushin, Yesh Bechlol on Shtei Mitzvahs. Everybody have that? Page 136, line 36. Achas Mitzvah Saseh, Hushi Garesh, HaMegaresh B'Sefer. The Rambam counts a mitzvah. You asked about the bracha, right? I don't know if you've been, you know, in the lot of time that you had between whether you were looking at the Rajpa and the Rivash or not. But you'll see that they discuss it, and we'll discuss it. But before we get to the, I don't think the Rambam would even be tempted to have a bracha, frankly, but the other Rishonim do discuss it. But the two mitzvahs are, Echas mitzvah seh shi garesh amagaresh b'sefer, that's the essay, and the shnia is what I refer to Masi Grushoso. Right, mitzvah slosa say v'hisha lo yachzir grushoso. Here he says misha nises. That's what I was alluding to. He really should have said, you know, misha niskadesh. And he says the same thing in Sefer Mitzvos. The reason it's a problem is because that's the view of Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur in the Gemara, not the Chachamim, but the Rambam himself in Perikid Aleph Hilchos Gerushin paskins like the Chachamim echad nisuin ve'echad erusin. So the fact that he emphasizes nisuin when he really thinks that it applies bein be'erus and bein be'erus. So but that's not for now. We'll get back to that. I have a theory about it. Okay. Ubir shtebet zaseilu prokamelu. Typically, the Rambam begins his treatment of a topic, not the koteret only, but inside, usually in the first halacha, all things being equal, he'll formulate the mitzvah. In Hilchos Ishus, it's in halacha base. So halacha aleph is, you know, what it used to be like before Matan Torah. And then halacha beis was v'likuchin elu mitzvah saseh shel Torah, correct? But you don't have this parallel in Gerushin, right? It's ein. Instead, you have the line 40: ein ha'isha miskareshes ela diksav sheagiela. Diksav zeh hu anikraget, right? Be'asor dvarim hein ikar Gerushin minat Torah ve'elu hein. There's no reference to, you know, what was Kodem Matan Torah, even though the Rambam does speak about Ben Noach in Hilchos Malachim, right? And he doesn't even bother, even though he does in Sefer Mitzvos and the Koteret formulate the mitzvah, but what is the mitzvah of the Rambam? We'll get back to this, but for now, look at the next page 2, line 6. This is from Sefer Mitzvos. Sefer Mitzvos, HaMitzvah Reish Kapesh, Tzivanu Legarish Bishtar. Al kaponim kishin nirtza lagarish hu amari salav v'kasav la sefer krisis v'nasam v'yada klar is baru b'mishnei b'tzazu rotzalam adim gerushin b'shleimus b'masachet hamchuberes lazeh rotzalam ha-masachet gittin. So the Rambam counts, you know, the mitzvah of gerushin both in the koteret and sefer mitzvahs. For him, the mitzvah is not to get divorced, even under conditions which might warrant it. We'll get back to that. That is the mitzvah according to some Rishonim, and then you can talk about bracha. But the Rambam's view of the mitzvah is, if a person anyways is getting divorced, he's chosen to get divorced, to do it biksav, to do it the right way, particularly with eshtar, which, by the way, we'll talk more, but contrasts to what he writes about Benoach, where he says of Benoach, there were two differences. Number one, anybody can initiate. Number two, can be oral or written. For the mitzvah of Jewish divorce is to emphasize the right. Now why? We'll get back to that. But that's what he says. So then you would expect that in Halacha Aleph, or Aleph and Beis, or somewhere in the first parak, you'd get the parallel of what you have in Hilchos Ishus. You know, either a Kodem Matan Torah, Or at least, you know, to repeat what he has in, say, for mitzvahs and the Koteret, you know, which is the mitzvah. But you don't. What do you get instead? The details, you don't have that in Hilchos Ishus. I mean, again, if you read all of Hilchos Ishus, of course you're getting, you know, the pratim, what works, what doesn't, you know, tzki yikach ish, lo ki tilakach isha le'ish, you know, what about Amarhu and Amrahi, and, you know, all the things, all of the dinim of Masachet, you know, Kiddushin. But you don't have what you have in the Rambam in Hilchos Geirushin, which is like a little sikum before you even start. Here are the 10 main features of a get. But that's exactly perfectly aligned with the psukim. Right? Namely, what the effect of the psukim is, the rigor and the single protocol, there's only one way to get divorced. Right? And that way, you have to follow to the letter. Now, what are the 10 things? Yeah.
As you find that in the Shulchan Aruch, right? It's the only in Hilchos Gittin you have Siddur and Get, which is like a summary of everything you learned in Hilchos Gittin, but like if you forgot what you
right.
read in Shulchan Aruch, all of a sudden you have a whole siman,
exactly.
Siddur and Get.
Right. So of course, part of it is, you know, what you said, which is like, you know, the stakes are so high, you have to be really, you know, super careful. But right, I think it's not, I don't think it's a coincidence, 100%. So, yeah, I mean, you know, these are subtle points, but I think when you put them together, there's a pattern of the subtle points. And what are the Asarid Varim? They're all, you know, issues that flow from these psukim. So let me just give you a quick example. I'll tell you what he says, just, you know, I don't think I copied the rest of it.
I don't think there's a Dugman in the Chumash of Get, is there?
What do you mean?
Demanding plenty of...
Aside from here, you mean? Oh, you mean like a narrative point?
Yeah, narrative, like, but...
You mean our marriages, but there aren't divorces.
Why didn't they have
the Lord? Oh, Hagar, he's saying, Shiluchaha. What about Hagar? Taka, that's a good question. Let's see, if, you know. If you knew some sofer about it, you'd be...
Sipora is also Achar Shiluchaha.
What?
But Sipora.
Or Achar Shiluchaha, yeah. Some people said that was a get.
Some say it was a get.
Right. Some people say it's a get. Yeah. So, yeah. What are the 10 things, by the way? So most of them are, of course, noveya from these words, which are, again, repeated as if, like, this is the straitjacket, the only way to be megarish. Right? Asar dvar me mikar gershim atar v'elohein. Lo yigarish ha'ish ela bertzono. Yigarish b'ksav alo b'davar acher. Shia inyan akasuv shegirsha v'yisira mekinyano, shia inyan adavar akoros bein aluvena, shia nichtav lishma, shia mechusar maisa haksiva, shia itnenala b'fnei edim, right? Shia itnenala b'toras gerushin, shia balo shlucha u'shanosnola, v'shar dvarim shavaget, kidon, azman, ksima seinem kiyotzenem, the rest is hakom b'divrei sofrim uminayin shasar dvarim ha'ilam min ha'torah shenemar v'hayam lo timsachein beina v'kasov sefer krisis v'nasim b'yad v'shulcha v'veso. And then he goes on to explain to darshan these psukim. A lot of this based on either, you know, the sifrei in parshas kiteitse or gemaras in gittin, and there are some chidushim like the Rambam also. Always when he darshans psukim, you know, there are chidushim. But what I'm trying to bring to your attention is the contrast and the whole different tone that you have in Geirushin as opposed to Ishus. No past history, no actually repetition of what he does believe is true in Sefer Mitzvah and the Koteris about the mitzvah, and instead, in its place, a huge effort to accentuate, right, the details of the get. But these details of the get, I say, aren't just details. These are sarid dvarim. Let's go back to psukim. I'll just comment on them very briefly. In my opinion, many of them are about, you know, emphasizing the idea that what we have here is not merely the unraveling of the ishus, but you need more than that. Something more. You need to be matir the ishus in order to be matir her lashuk. So, for example. The kasav, you know, that is that you need a ksiva and not simply an amira, which is one of the differences of Bnei Noah. That's a way of, number one, of formalizing. Anytime you need a written document, you know, not just an expression of your will, Or some other method of kinyan. Again, you know, kiddushin doesn't necessarily need a shtar. It's a method, but there's also kesef, and there's also, you know, bia. Bia, you don't have an equivalent, obviously, in gerushin, but, you know, the Gemara discusses, well, you know, why wouldn't something like kesef or some other, you know, verbalization, again, it works for Benoach, why wouldn't it work for Yisrael? And for the Rambam, actually, that's the most, because that is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is when you're megarish, to do it b'derech ksiva. What's fascinating is, you know, when we get to the Yerushalmi and the Benoach more explicitly, I'll just tell you now, though, very quickly, in the Yerushalmi, it seems like there are two views about a Benoach's get. One is that there's no get, you know, till death do us part. Well, discuss it. The other one is that, you know, either the husband or the wife can initiate the divorce. But where did the Rambam get that there's no ksav? So actually, the way that the Korban Eidah reads Yerushalmi, when it says there's no get, he read that to mean there's no piece of paper, meaning there's no, you know, there's gerushin, but there's no get. Okay. But the Rambam clearly didn't read it that way, because the Rambam writes that the, you know, wife or the husband, either one, can initiate. So obviously, he took that day of the Yerushalmi, so how did he know that you don't need a ksav? Some of the Mefarshim were very troubled by this, and if you look at the Shiori HaKarban, which is the Korban HaEdo's Perush on his own Perush, in the Yerushalmi, so he said, he asked this question, he says, like, I don't know where the Rambam, you know, how he knew, or why he seemed to paskin both views, or both sides of the Safek of the Yerushalmi, like, how did he know to do that? But I think the answer is that the Rambam said that the kasav is part of the matir, part of the get. You know, one of the reasons that you need a shtar for the raya shabo, the chinuch says maybe to slow him down so he won't do anything precipitous, like almost like a get mekusha or a ksuva kind of an idea. But I think also it's the formalism of not just, you know, unraveling the kiddushin, but you need a ksiva, you need a matir. Of course, whether the kasav means the kasav or the chasam, that's a debate in its own right. But look at the next, just very quickly. The law, of course, you know, refers to lishma. Now the idea that there is lishma, you know, in a get is not such a simple, you know, matter. I mean, we associate lishma mostly with the davar shebekdusha. You know, ksiva sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzah. Now, there's also Megillah Sota, that has a certain kind of weird kedusha, but, and of course, there's, you know, there's a lishma of matzah, but that's not really a lishma of the matzah, that's, you know, a lishmira lishma. Get, you know, that get would require lishma is peculiar. But the whole idea of lishma and get is different than it is anywhere else, pretty much. In that, I'll use the way I like to characterize it, lishma in a get is about personalizing the get. It's not like a mail order or generic, you know, document. You know, like fill in the blanks. I mean, you could fill in it, that would make it lishma. But the point is that, you know, it's a personal ishus, and therefore, if you're going to go the route of get, there has to be a personal get. That's, my opinion, is part of the matir of not just, you know, undoing, but, you know, actively being matir isha l'shuk, and, you know, creating a shame grusha where there used to be a shame ishasish that needs, you know, that needs l'shma. Sefer, according to the Gemara, refers to sfiras dvarim, which means that there has to be a certain unequivocal, you know, clear meaning to the get. Ramban in particular understands it this way, meaning there can't be ambiguities in the get. It has to be like, you know, mefurash muchach mitocho, in a way. And once again, that's a hallmark of like formal writing, where you're not simply trying to express your will, your das, but, you know, where what you want to do goes beyond that. Krisus, of course, defines the get. The Gemara says, you know, it has to be dabar akores beino leveina. You can't, like, leave her hanging. You can't, like, maintain, you know, control. You know, again, the details are discussed in the Gemara, but, you know, you can't, you know, like, even, like, impose a tnai, you know, upon her, never mind, you know, a tnai about who she can marry. That's a discussion of chutz. But even if you make, like, a regular tnai, it's possible this is a violation of chrisas. If it's a permanent tnai, so in a way, like, you're still pulling the strings. You can't pull the strings and be megarish. It's all, you know, or nothing. You need a total clean break. Because you have to be matir, the ishus. And then it's benasan, you know, biyada. Benasan was picked up by the ksos. The ksos discusses, is it a kinyan? Is it the undoing of a kin? It's a din in the sina. Okay, the rayas will leave for another time. Biyada, benasan biyada. Right, there's no tli gitech mal gabe karka. She can't be, you know, a partner, you know, a participant, you know, in her own heter. It's got to be the husband. That's why it's dafka, his initiate. He initiates the kedushin. He has to be the one, not to unravel it, but to be matir it for the same reason. And tli gitech mal gabe karka. If he says to her, you know, like, pick up the get, you know, that disqualifies. Interesting, does that apply to Kiddushei Shtar? Would that apply to Eved? These are interesting questions. The Shilcha Nideso. So it's like the Shulcha, you know, which is a more typical and a more moderate formulation, you know, sending her away. It's the Shilcha, like throwing her out. In other words, there's no in-between in Geirusha, basically. For her to be Muteris L'Shut, she has to be, their break has to be active and absolute. And I think the Nibeso, I mean, the Gemara says that, you know, she has to be of a certain competence, age-wise, you know, intellectually, it's a discussion of Shota, where she understands that, you know, that she is now no longer, that they're no longer husband and wife. Otherwise, the get isn't kal. That's like an added requirement of her comprehension and her competence, dafka and gittin, based on the shulchan. She has to be mishtaleches ve'eino chozeres. But I think that the language of beso is also very interesting, because we understand beso zuishto. When the Gemara in Yoma wants to explain that a kohen gadol needs to be married, you know, and the Rambam formulates it like a definition, almost like he can't be a kohen gadol and a yom kippur if he's not married. It's, you know, it's based on the vidui and the language of beso. You know, beso zuishto. This is my suggestion. The other ones are based on Gemara's. But so basically, what we're saying is we need a shilcha, not just a sholcha. You know, mi beso, also from the state of baal kiishto. This is the tightest, you know, most bonded existential connection, you know, that the halacha recognizes among human beings, you know, separate from the Rabbona Shalom, obviously. And, you know, that's, you know, baal ki ishto, ishto kebalo, beso, etc. And if you're going to sever that, it's not easy to undo that. You need an emphatic, you know, process that is rigorous, you know, and that is decisive. So basically what the Torah is telling us is, you know, contrasting, if Kiddushin is the background of Geirushin, you know, Ki Kakichi Shuvah Allah, there's no Geirushin without Kiddushin. And then you have the heavy emphasis on the Geirushin in a way that, you know, accentuates how different it is, you know, as it's not just the reverse process. I mean, to some extent it's a reverse process, and to some extent it's a parallel process, Viyatzav Aysa. You know, and of course in opposite directions, so that creates a certain, you know, reverse tendency too. But what I'm saying is it's more than that. You know, just like Kiddushin is a creation, Geirushin is a creation, but it's a creation because of Kiddushin and as a testament to Kedusha that Kiddushin engenders. If Kiddushin had just been what it is in Benoah, kind of a looser, you know, kind of arrangement, you know, then if there was a get, if a Benoah has a get, it would be verbal. And it could come from any part, just like, you know, we're not in business anymore. The last year we spoke about Shubtas, you know. As long as you have a, you know, a Kedei Chalukah, you know, either partner can side, you know, no more. But, what's that?
Do with a text.
Exactly.
So the flexibility of Kiddushin and the multiple prong, that reflects what? That reflects...
Because there are more than one ways to trigger, you know, an ishus. There's an economic way, and there's an interpersonal way, and then there's like, you know, a contractual, you know, way. Because there are different aspects of ishus to begin with. But the din is that ain ishus l'chatzayim, so it's like a full package. But how you like trigger that package, you know, is it's a complex institution that has many different dimensions. Gerushin, on the other hand, you know, needs to be, number one, more rigorous, because what it's trying to do is more than just undo. You know, it needs to be matir. And number two, it's about completely obliterating the bond. You know, and therefore, it's not about its components, it's about the totality of it. And this is the way, by doing this exact protocol, the Kasav L'Sefer Krisus, the Nasa B'yada, the Shilcham Ibeso, quote unquote, in each time, by doing that, and only by doing that, you know, that's the only way, you know, that. So in a way, it's, of course it's about Gerushin, but in a way, the need for such rigor, you know, in Gerushin, of course, again, what you said is correct. They're not, you know, there's no stira. It's about, for sure, you know, if you're going to be matir isha, you know, leshuk, you better be sure to do it, you know, in the exact proper way. But what I'm saying is it's much more than that. It's also it's a testament to what ishus really is, and, you know, therefore the difficulty and the, you know, single-minded way in which it is not undone, I'm saying it's more than undone, in which that it's neutralized, is a testament to ishus itself. So basically the way I'm reading the psukim is, you have the background, of course, on one level it's all just, you know, it's the narrative. You have to have a kiddushin in order to have a gerushin. You have to have two gerushin in order to have masu grishaso. And, you know, the Torah is telling you about masu grishaso. But that leaves you with some questions. How come elsewhere the Torah didn't speak about kiddushin more? This is the only parsha, you know, about that describes kiddushin. How come, you know, the halacha and the presentation is so different? You know, and why is masu grishaso, you know, seemingly the climax of this, when it's a very rare case, it's only a lav, you know, and so on and so forth. But I think the answer to all of this is these five, are there five? Yeah, four, sorry. Well, no, actually there is a fifth. These four psukim are like a testament to kedushas ishus, you know, and therefore the need for a get, to be the way that it is. And then Matsu Grishaso is kind of the highlight of the whole thing, because it's saying, you know, Gerushin is an unhappy institution, but the, you know, it's also necessary, we'll get to this part in a minute, I'll introduce this in a minute, in terms of grounds for divorce, based Hillel Beis Shammai and Rabbi Akiva, it's a necessary institution to protect, you know, Kedushas Ishus, and therefore to, you know, to employ it in a cynical way to accomplish exactly the opposite, you know, a series of relationships that would be technically, you know, legal and permissible, but, you know, reflect zero kedusha, basically, or no concept of kedusha. They're just kind of like a harama, you know, to get around the isurim. You know, that would be like the ultimate betrayal of get, and by extension of the chalosa ishus, you know, which it creates. So the four psukim, in the exact way that they're written, end up being, according to if I'm correct, they end up kind of conveying, you know, in a very effective way, by relating, you know, to also the drashos that make up kiddushin and gerushin, the overlapping parts, the contrasting parts, the lead-in to Masu Grishaso, all of this is a testament, you know, to Kiddushas Ishus itself. And then it's followed by one more, and this I spoke about last week, that's the fifth Pasuk, which is technically in a different Parsha, you know, but is, you know, Ki Yikach Ish Isha chadasha and naki yia levesel. So as I was saying last time, again, it's very interesting that what another bala, you know, bala turim, where he says haparsha matchelas b'chiyikach u'mesayemes b'kichach, referring to chiyikach isha, you know, chadasha. Now again, technically, in the Masorah of, you know, how the Parshios are written, it's not the same Parsha. But obviously he felt, meaning the Smichos of Parshios, like, you know, it was Kicha Kicha. So in a way, you know, it's perfect, because that's all about the Noki Elebeso Shana, you know, Achas, and that's where the Sefer Chinuch famously, you know, explains that the investment in a year of, you know, Noki Elebeso is, you know, in order to habituate, you know, husband and wife to each other, in order to cement, you know, the bond, you know, between them, you know, in a way, right, that's, you know, Hitchil and Mesayim. Those are the two, you know, key ikachs. So I think it's, you know, it's very, to me, it's very inspiring the way the Torah wrote all this. It's so difficult when you first look at it, you know, but the more you spend time with it and you know, the different difficulties, you know, kind of converge in a way that they answer each other, you know, and they leave you with a very, I think, inspiring picture of what the Isha says. Having said that, we're running a little late, so that kind of I want to get back to Masa Gushaso to highlight this a little bit further. I'm not sure if I'll do that first or not, but probably next week we'll start looking at the Mishnah on Tzadi Omen Aleph, the end of the Masechta, but that's where the Mishnah discusses grounds for divorce. But it's a little bit Shammai, Rabbi Akiva. What's that? Oh, no, I thought we were doing a Yom Kippur topic, or were we doing...
We said Rosh Hashanah on the 19th also.
We did? I think if I go over the emails... Really? I'm pretty sure what it was. But, oh, so we should do something on Shomer next week? I'm sure that we announced it that way. I think I said, yeah, we'll do the Yom Kippur one, thinking that we'd, you know, really catch another. But if you advertise it, we'll go for it. Yeah. It's the same thing in it. Okay, so next week Rosh Hashanah, when we pick up, then comes the week after Yom Kippur. Or is there one in between? It's a Seretz Mitzvah. Gotta be a Seretz Mitzvah. And then we're on break. Anyway, the next time we learn Gittin, we'll start with I want to talk about the Mishnah, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, and to discuss, especially, again, Beis Shammai's view of Gittin is very narrow, but very understandable, given everything that we've discussed. In other words, the Ishus is a very sanctified entity, and, you know, it shouldn't be entered into lightly, and it shouldn't be exited lightly. How do we understand, you know, Beis Hillel and Rabbi Akiva, Hikdicha Tavshilo, you know, Matza Isha Na Hemena? It doesn't superficially, you know, seem to fit the picture of, you know, Kedushas Ishas. So I'm going to suggest that it does, but, you know, we have to work on that a little bit. And the Shaka Vatari, the Gemara, we're going to start with the last Gemara in the Masechta. You know, it's always the perfect introduction. And okay, but I guess that'll wait. Okay.
If we can hold the cup until after service.
Yeah, something to think about, though.